I'm Dr. Ashley Mader, and welcome to the very first Shine podcast. The working title is in progress. In today's premiere episode, I interviewed Dr. Diana Wiley, the author of the book Love in the Time of Corona. It's an amazing book, and be prepared for me to write a book review and put it on my blog. Dr. Diana Wiley has practiced for more than 30 years as a licensed marriage and family therapist and is a board-certified sex therapist and gerontologist. So in this episode, I interview her about her book and some of the techniques that she uses. So please sit back and enjoy.
So I guess my first question would be is what inspired you to write Love? I just love the title because of the movie Love in the Time of Cholera, like Love in the Time of Corona. What was your inspiration for it?
Well, the pandemic seemed to be getting more and more serious. And my husband, Brian, and I were talking about it. And we said, let's get a book going. Write a book. And we wrote it. I say we because he did help a lot with the writing. In just over 2 months, so it was a real push. In addition to my seeing my clients over Zoom and all of that. But a lot of my clients were also expressing fears about the unknown and what could they do. And the core message really is make the most of your time in the forced togetherness. Make the most of that time. And my hope is that someday couples can look back on 2020 and say, you know what? We got closer.
Yeah.
We got closer. And we followed the guidelines of Love in the Time of Corona, which is laid out in a very specific way, where you have chapter one, get to know your partner better.
Yeah.
And that's always important. And you may have questions about that for me. And then plan your date night at home is chapter two. Mindfulness is so important to be mindful. Chapter three. And using touch to relieve stress.
Yes.
Yes. So these are very important things because so many people are just so stressed out, so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many health benefits to being sexual.
And that was something that I was going to ask to you next is, because this is such a stressful time for people. And from a lot of people, stress is definitely not an aphrodisiac. It's like not an aphrodisiac at all. It doesn't make people feel sexy. But you did talk about how sex can actually decrease sex and it's actually can bring you closer together. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, because when we're stressed, we have a lot of cortisol and adrenaline and it's kind of, from an evolutionary point of view, we were wired to do fight, flight, or freeze. But when we're sexual and we're touching each other, and it's a positive feedback loop because the more we're touched, the more we want to be touched. And so you get a lot more oxytocin, which helps with bonding and trust and communication. And then you also get endorphins, and that makes you feel good. And there are many, many benefits. This is so interesting to me. So 10 years ago, Brazil's Minister of Health made a surprising recommendation when he encouraged Brazilians to have sex 5 times a week as a countermeasure to the hypertension epidemic. Now, probably in Brazil, they wish they had just that. But it really, really helps to have sex and it helps calm you down. And so massaging before sex, and that's in chapter four, use touch to relieve stress.
Mm-hmm.
that we all have better sex when we're relaxed. And so I have to, as a gerontologist yourself, I have to tell you this story. And I have a 95-year-old friend. He's been a friend for years. And he and his partner, who's about 15 years his junior, are still sexually active. And he's an incredible man. He's stayed engaged in life, and he's always exercised, and he remains sexual. So I sent him my book, and he said, what a treasure this book is. He said, so my partner and I did stage one of the full body caressing. And he said, I always thought that I had to have my genital stem stimulated to be aroused. He said, I couldn't believe how good it felt to have my whole body stroked. Yeah. And then he said, we can't wait to get to stage two. And he said, we're going to do that in a couple of days. So I need to follow up with him. But he said, if only I'd had this book 80 years ago, because he started being sexually active at age 15, he said it would have saved me years of frustration, years and years of frustration. So we need more information and knowledge and more touch.
Definitely. Cause you've already kind of spoke to this, but people are feeling touch deprived right now. And I think we also, even before this, I think we might've been living in a touch deprived culture, and skin hunger is just so important. And I really like the idea of like incorporating more touch. I also like the, your sexual menu. And incorporating all sorts of different like sexual behaviors and sexual activities, including, you know, whether it's touch, whether it's oral sex, whether it's some variations of different kink behaviors. I think it's just great for people to explore the different ways of touching.
Absolutely. And so I called it full body caressing in the book, but Masters and Johnson, who did, I'm sure you're familiar mm-hmm. with their research. I'm quite familiar with it because I'm an older person, and they pretty much created the field of sex therapy. They called it sensate focus.
Yes.
And their research it told them that too many people are too genitally focused. That we have all of these other possible erogenous zones from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And too many people get stuck between the legs. So we need to explore other possibilities. And the sex menu can help with that. In the very first chapter, get to know mm-hmm. your partner better, because we make, especially couples who've been together a long time, they think they know each other. And and they really could still discover more things about each other. And you know, couples will buy books about travel and finances and gardening and talk about them, but they often don't talk about sex.
Absolutely. And I find that people, when they first start being together, they have this whole big array of sexual activities that they might do. Yeah. And then it starts getting very, very, very small. This is what works. And they have a hard time thinking about getting out of that little box that they've created for themselves.
That is so true. That is so true. And of course, in the beginning of a relationship, you also can't keep your hands off each other.
Yep.
You probably know Dr. Helen Fisher's work.
Yes.
Yes. And so in the beginning stages, you get a lot of testosterone on board and dopamine, the hormone of arousal. And dopamine needs novelty to be expelled and experienced in the body. And so dopamine is really good. And we can, if we try new things and talk about new things with a longstanding partner, we can get more dopamine on board.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other thing that you talked about, and I really love this, I'm going to call it an exercise for lack of a better word, but so many people are complaining about the lack of time, especially now, like when people are working from home and raising their children and trying to homeschool. But I love your concept of the 7:15 exercise.
Yes.
I just think that is so, I just love it. And like, so can you explain that exercise? Because I think to me that that exercise was like, you, everyone has time to do this.
Yes. Thank you, Ashley. That's right. So 7:15 means, it refers to the 7-second kiss and the 15-second hug. And I've been using this exercise for years. I used it when more people were working outside of the home, and maybe they'd come home and they'd greet each other and they needed a transition. So doing a 7-second kiss and a 15-second hug, long enough to get the oxytocin going, help them transition from work mode to play mode or being at home.
Yeah.
And then they might go their separate ways for a time. But of course, in lockdown, they may be under the same roof. But still, it helps. And kissing is a wonderful way to communicate.
Absolutely.
And these days, unless we're quarantining with a partner, it's really dangerous to kiss.
Yeah.
And some single folks are discovering that with all of the dating, but that's another story.
And I was going to actually ask you about that, because there are people single during this time. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on like how they can create intimacy in a safe way during this time if they are not partnered.
Yeah, well, they need to, I think, have a lot of Zoom dates.
Yeah.
And if they do meet up, they should meet up outside and keep their masks on.
Yeah.
And you know, Helen Fisher, she's also a dating expert because of her work with chemistry.com and all of that. And match.com. Yeah, she's an advisor to Match. She says you need to, for singles, you need to give a person 9 dates. 9 dates before you make a decision. The brain can't handle more than 9. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 different people, I should say. And okay. Then if you zero in on one person, have at least 3 dates with them, which I used to recommend before the pandemic. At least 3 dates. Give the person a chance.
Yeah. I like that. I like that idea, because I think so many people just like zero in on one person when they're like online dating, or and I think I always called it either sport dating or circular dating, or whatever you want to call it, of just like having a narrowing it down, getting to know a lot of people. I think just is important.
Yeah, it really is. And being single these days is so much harder.
Yeah.
But maybe we go back to the couples in quarantine, where my focus is in the book. Yeah. Love in the time of quarantine. And my website for the book is DearDrDiana.com.
Okay.
It's on the back cover too.
Okay,
DearDrDiana.com. Yep. And so that's also an advice blog where people send in questions and I answer them.
That's awesome. That's great. I really like that.
Yeah. In fact, I have somebody who helps me put it up there because of my lack of technology abilities. But just 2 days ago, we got a question from a woman with small children and what to do when she and her husband want to have a midday tryst, and the children kind of know about it, and whether they need to have a lock on the door. And absolutely.
Yes. I like how you included that in the book. I'm like, in my head, I was like, how many people don't have locks on their door? But there's a lot of families that just, it's like this open door policy, and that privacy is so important during this time.
During any time.
Yeah.
It's a boundary issue. And I think if parents say to their kids, mom and dad need some private time, we need time together, it's important for our relationship. And kids are so happy when their parents are happy.
Yes.
And you know, kids are like little barometers. They pick up on all kinds of anxiety in everybody's really anxious. So
you are a gerontologist. That's something. And I obviously I want to talk more in depth about this because I think it's extremely important. But what advice do you have for older adults in regards to their sexuality? And like what advice?
Well, my advice is to stay sexual, to remain sexual. And that does not have to mean that you have intercourse. It can be outer course. Some older men have erectile dysfunction and they have performance pressures. And this isn't good for a sexual relationship. In fact, right after Viagra was approved in 1998, there were a lot of so-called Viagra divorces because the man suddenly could get an erection, but he hadn't been nice to his partner for years.
So, yeah.
plus with erections, including and vaginas, it both are use it or lose it kinds of things. Postmenopausally, a woman can get, I've been on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy for years, which has helped me. But I don't have breast cancer in my family, so that was lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other topicals that will help with estrogen replacement so that the woman doesn't have painful intercourse. But mainly it's about staying in touch and lying together, naked at the very least, and touching each other and saying what they love and appreciate about each other. The Sweet Nothings, another exercise in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be very, to take time to slow down. You know, Gail Sheehy talked about in Passages, her book of 40 years ago now, that after 50, there's a crossover effect where many women become more assertive and they say what they want and need and desire. And men become slow down a little more and are more comfortable with intimacy. And that can make a difference.
Absolutely.
So I say, don't fold up your tent. Stay sexual. And it can keep you young and it's good for your health. And there's so many more tips. And we, no doubt, when you come on my radio show as my guest, and that's that. Information can be found on my website, DearDrDiana.com. I mean, I mess up my websites. On DrDianaWiley.com is where that can
okay.
be. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's super, super important. Just, I think so many older adults, and I think baby boomers are changing this, mm-hmm. Think that once you hit a certain age, it's that internalized ageism, all the stereotypes, all the myths that we all internalize
yes.
from when we're young, and then we grow up with them.
Yes.
And so I think that keeps a lot of people, older adults, from engaging in like sex or sexual behaviors, outer course. But also I think it keeps a lot of people from getting the help they need. Because healthcare, this is something I talk about a lot, is healthcare providers don't have knowledge on sexuality and aging, and they have their own ageism around that.
Absolutely. I've heard some rather disturbing stories from my older clients about their visits to their doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting older. Have a glass of wine. Relax. You know, really just unhelpful information and guidance.
Yeah.
So it's a mind body. I worked at UCLA before I moved to Seattle 11 years ago at their female sexual medicine center. And so the mind body approach is very important to all kinds of sexuality, but especially older sexuality. Getting into your body. A lot of people of all ages have trouble getting into their body and yeah. staying in their bodies while they're sexual. They have other thoughts, and especially with the pandemic, all these stressors.
Yeah.
So being mindful about sex is really, really important. during the massaging, when you're the receiver, stay with it. And if something doesn't feel good in terms of a touch, speak up. You may remember that at the end of my book, I have the 7 secrets for sensational sex.
Yeah.
First one is to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And then your partner doesn't have to worry. So speak up if something's uncomfortable.
I think that's such an important, everyone can learn that. To me, it's like, you know, you have to own yourself. You have to own your own pleasure. And if it doesn't feel good, you have to say something.
That's right. You have to say something.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that interview and got some good tips that you can start using today or tonight or whatever tickles your fancy. And meanwhile, be on the lookout for the review of the book and the link to Dr. Diana's website and where you can also purchase the book. Have a great and sexy day.